And hey everyone, I have the fantastic pleasure today of welcoming the one and only Robin O'Connell, CRO of Uphold. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me, Joel.
Yeah, no problem. How's your day been? I don't ask that enough of people. I mean, I don't care, but.
Where are you exactly?
In the East Coast in New Hampshire.
You're in New Hampshire. Okay. Yeah. So I would love to be in New Hampshire right now because I'm in Northern California. Ooh. And we have terrible fires. And so it literally looks like, you know, it's a really foggy day, but it's all smoke. So
yeah.
It's kind of a bummer.
Fun fact, I am originally from California, from the Bay Area. And when I was a small child, but then I grew up in the north of Mexico. And at one point, there was a huge forest fire that made us evacuate our place before it was just going through, but it never burned to the ground, but it still came kind of close. So I do know what it's like to see smoke up in the air and like the looming orange coming over the hills and all that apocalyptic nonsense.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just sending the last couple of links out so everyone sees where this is at. So really quick, if you wouldn't mind breaking down, what's your role at Uphold? What do you mostly take? Sure. Basically, what do people get mad at you when something goes wrong?
Well, if you put it that way, I don't do anything else.
Yeah.
I run basically the business unit that is in mm-hmm. charge of our business accounts and then our partnerships. So as an example, Dash is a partnership. Brave is a partnership.
Nice.
So we have many partnerships whereby, you know, those partners are working with Uphold in some way. Like mm-hmm. in the Dash case, you know, we're integrated so that we're an easy onboarding, offboarding to fiat mechanism in your Dash wallet.
Mm-hmm.
With Brave, we manage their rewards system essentially. And so when users or publishers are receiving basic attention token in their ecosystem, they can actually then cash it out into dollars, euros, Dash, what have mm-hmm. you, using that system.
Yeah. And that is one thing I noticed is I remember, what was Uphold's previous name before the name was changed to a much better Uphold?
Bit Reserve.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I remember hearing of Bit Reserve as some kind of a partner with Bitwage and stuff like that way back in the day. But the only time I actually remember something about Uphold was in conjunction with Dash. And it's probably because of my situation. I've been unbanked since 2016. I have no bank account and live off of crypto. And as such, there's a lot of services like Uphold that I'm enthusiastic about, but not too much of an actual user myself because I just don't have I don't use bank accounts. I don't use KYC type stuff. So it's just like outside, but I'm still very enthusiastic about getting people to sign up when they, you know, need to go in and out. And I did make a video. I've been doing this video series called How to Live on Crypto. And in it, I go through what's the easiest way to get some Dash. And so I just say, you know, Uphold's in the Dash wallet. And when I got some friends to, you know, who actually, you know, had accounts and stuff to record the videos of the process of how do you buy Dash in the Uphold and then transfer it to the other part of your wallet. When I went through that, I was like, wow, this is super easy. Like, it's just literally you click a little button and it just moves right over. Like, the integration of that experience it's kind of like enviable. And this is one thing, as someone who's been doing crypto stuff, I think I got my first Bitcoin almost 7 years ago, like in a week or so, it'll be like 7 years. Someone who's been around that's the thing, is I've been one of those people who spent it the entire way, spent and received.
Yeah, me too, buying and spending it.
Yeah, so yeah, unfortunately, I would have a lot more. But as someone who's been in the space for that long, I've tried to onboard people and just the clunkiness of like, all right, so your exchange and then getting the address, like, especially if you have a mobile wallet and then your exchange is on the computer, it's like, how do you send the address to yourself so then you can paste it in? And just like, there's always, it's such a headache. And just the ability of just, you have one, probably what I would think, the easiest to use wallet out there. You just have it and you just hit a button and then whoop, you get your crypto. Yeah. Like, it's so easy.
Well, thank you for that. That's obviously music to our ears. And hopefully you've seen our most recent iteration of the user experience, which I think is even better, which is basically just, and we have this mantra, anything to anything. So it's basically, you say, oh, I want to move, let's say dollars to Dash or Dash dollars, or in certain jurisdictions, we actually now support fractional equities. So I can go in one move from Dash to Apple stock. I mean, yeah, that's crazy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me check something real quick, because I've been trying, I don't know if you see this little yellow button at the bottom, but I've been experimenting with this thing called CoinTree. So CoinTree is like a one spot for all your crypto addresses and link, and also your links to all your stuff. And okay. I managed to use it for like a live, like a super chat function. So this is big for content creators that basically, you know, when people leave live comments on your thing, some people in YouTube can pay to actually leave a live comment. And like YouTube takes like 40% of that. It's like a huge cut. And now I figured out a way with my friend Naomi Brockwell, who helps run this thing called CoinTree. I found a way at the bottom to leave a little super chat thing. So I gave myself $1.99 of Dash just to put this on how do you actually engage in the super chat. You go to cointr.ee/thedesertlinks, and then you can go there and like donate a little, like $5 or $1 or whatever of any crypto with a little message, and that'll show up right there live as we're doing this. So I just wanted to give that a little shout out, and I'm glad, yay, claps it back. Glad I made this work. This is a big, big achievement for me. So anyway, sorry for getting a little, little off track with that little excitement, but yeah. So what do you have going on at Uphold New that you're excited about? Because it's a constantly evolving space, and I remember seeing Uphold through the years make various little changes and things like that. And I'm sure you're always working on something that's like the next level of that smooth user experience. And I'm sure I've already seen it improve significantly. But so what are you particularly excited about?
Gosh, so I'll sort of share a laundry list, because one thing that, you know, I actually am pretty proud of is the team that's making these changes. One of the hardest things we have at Uphold is, you know, what do we do now, you know, and what gets pushed? Unfortunately, there's so much that we need to do and are trying to do to improve the user experience, add more content, add more onboarding, offboarding, add more partnerships, et cetera, that, you know, it's like an endless flow of, you know, new technology and new build. And so we're always looking to do that. But I'll just list a few things. So let's see. So just this year, we launched our new, you know, anything to anything UX. You can see it live on our iOS, on our mobile apps and Android. And then also you can see it you can kind of toggle between the old version and then the new version on the web app as well. And it's really, like you talked about, it makes it so that it's just, you know, you can go from anything to anything in one click, which is pretty neat. And part of that is that the way that our platform works is very different from how other platforms work. Certainly an exchange, which is actually a market maker, needs to clear orders and they need to, you know, match buyers and sellers. And that's not how what we do. We're more about, you know, making it really dead simple for the end user and making that, you know, payment experience, you know, a pleasurable one.
Yeah. And that might be an interesting, kind of a distinction, because the crypto world is full of traders, and traders go to exchanges. They're always new exchange listing, and then they're kind of familiar with that old trading experience. And I remember, as I've just always been a user, I remember there was some random coin that someone gave me a bunch of, and I was looking to switch it for something. And I was familiar with things like Shapeshift, and this thing wasn't on Shapeshift. And I was like, all right. And so I signed up for some exchange, and I just look at this, and I'm like, buy order, sell order, all these charts, and my head just exploded. I'm just like, I didn't. And I never ended up doing anything with that, because it was just, it was too crazy. It's so a lot of people don't really understand the difference between like a broker type service and an exchange. So do you want to kind of like, are you like Binance, like, oh, big exchange? Like, no, what's different? Just for the newbies.
Yeah, totally. For the newbies. Mm-hmm. So basically, you know, one way to think about it is it's the difference between, you know, Coinbase, which mm-hmm. is a wallet, and Coinbase Pro, which is an exchange. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're more like Coinbase, the mm-hmm. wallet, although we're better in lots of ways, we believe. And that, you know, even with Coinbase, the wallet, you're loading dollars into the system in order to then buy something. And then if you want to sell that, you're selling it back into dollars to then mm-hmm. buy something else, right? With us, you go from one thing to the other, and there's no sort of middle step. So that's, and really, why is that? I mean, other than just, you know, kind of being a cooler user experience, it's that we really fundamentally believe that if crypto is going to be successful, you've got to have those basic, you know, dead simple, instant conversions available for these, you know, for this all to work. Otherwise, really, we are just in the land of crypto is just a new asset class to trade. And I know Dash mm-hmm. doesn't believe that, right? Dash mm-hmm. is all about utility and so forth. And so, you know, we are as well. And that's the part that I'm working on is how can, you know, we don't list assets, digital assets, just because we think people are going to trade them a lot and speculate mm-hmm. them a lot. We list them primarily because they're meeting there's some use case behind them. You know, Brave and Bat is a great example. Yeah. Dash is a great example. We have a really big new one about to launch in the next month that I can't even talk about yet, but it has to do with gaming. Ooh, so
that's always a good one.
It's you know, when you start to see those types of use cases prop up with digital assets, that's where I really get excited because I'm like, okay, now we're actually talking about real payments, real uses of funds, you know, versus just the promise that one day it's gonna, you know, somehow materialize and transform the way that we do payments today.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I think has been really fascinating with the way the space has developed is it started out as this really like technically rough thing called Bitcoin that only certain computer, like ugly programs, you do a little beep, 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 I sent Bitcoin here, whatever. And then it became better and better with the UX that people just started thinking, wow, we're all going to be living entirely off of Bitcoin within like a year or two. It's like, we got a little bit of a hyperbolic thinking, let's be honest, a little get ahead of yourselves. And then at mm-hmm. some point, the space just sort of, the user experience as far as actual spending and receiving of money or like day-to-day type use cases just kind of like hit a limit and it just sort of stayed around that way. And this is as someone who has been buying things, physical goods and services with crypto since 2013. My first time I bought something was with Bitcoin 2013. First time I bought something with Dash was 2016. And that's basically what I've been doing ever since. And just the fact that until like basically last year, there was no decent point of sale app that, you know, I kind of use. And by the way, so what I have done is I've set up a couple of merchants with Uphold as a backend because of, again, that how simple that like anything to anything concept uh-huh. is, to where it's like a different point of sale app, but then it just sends the crypto right into their Uphold account and instantly gets converted so they don't have to worry about price fluctuations. And I have before, and again, this is not a rip on Coinbase day because I think that Coinbase has a great UX stuff too, but however, in the case of Dash specifically, they recognize Dash deposits as final after two confirmations or 5 minutes, which is very much faster than almost everything else. But there's still like when I've paid a merchant that I've set up with Coinbase before I started, you know, I figured out that Uphold is the way to go on this. I still had that like try to remind them within the 5 minutes to like, oh yeah, go and flip it over right now manually, because otherwise who knows if the price goes something crazy. And it's like, hey, you owe me like $12 still from that. And like, I just don't want to have to do all that stuff. And so it's just such a fantastic experience to just, you just send it and it's done. You just don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely echo that. And just for the listeners, just to be really clear, what that means is you can set up an Uphold account and you can hold any number of sub accounts. The sub accounts could represent 30 different cryptocurrencies, 30 different fiat currencies. We have 4 commodities and then also fractional equities. And this concept of going anything to anything, what you can do is you could even you could list your Dash address for your USD sub account. So what does that mean? It means, you know, hey, pay me in Dash, have it run across Dash rails, but as soon as it's received, convert it into USD. And that, and so that's what Joel's talking about and what ultimately merchants want, because they run the risk of holding Dash and have it go up and down or whatever. They just want to, if they're in the US and they're dealing in dollars, they want dollars. If they're in Europe and they're dealing in euros, they want euros, and they're happy to adopt cryptocurrencies. But really the driver for that for them is that it's just, that's how their customer wants to pay. And so, you know, not that, oh, I want to receive Dash or Bitcoin or what have you, is what we're seeing.
Yeah. And so let me just interject really quick. As you see at the bottom, someone gave us $10 worth of Dash with the message greetings, which is, I'm sure it was intended as greetings, but it's greetings. Thank you very much, Anonymous, for saying greetings to us. It is a great day. Great day for greetings. So thank you very much. And I will collapse that thing down. So yeah, anyway, just a reminder, if you do a super chat tweet, it goes right, or payment, it goes right there. And then I can expand it and go like, oh, that's nice. All right.
Yeah. So did they send you that in Dash?
Yes, there's that little Dash icon right there.
And hopefully that means that then it got converted into your USD wallet.
So this is now, this is absolutely possible for you know, people who have bank accounts and stuff like that. But so, for example, if someone wanted to do a super chat type experience like this, like some content creator, some Twitch streamer, some whatever you want, who wants to do this, they can set up their coin tree. And then you can just do exactly this. And even if they don't want crypto, they just want dollars, but they want to, you know, they want to enable it through crypto. You can pay them in crypto right there, and then it will go to their Uphold account, and they'll save significantly on fees over what like a YouTube would do. They would charge, you know, because the super chat fees are exorbitant on stuff like YouTube. And of course, I understand they're enabling the service. It's a really cool little thing. But now with this little hack that we figured out, we can kind of get around that and use Uphold to save a whole bunch of money. So, you know, even I'm pretty sure even if a Uphold user buys crypto and then like say they buy some Dash and then they send it and the other person then sells it immediately for USD. So it's a USD to USD with like a Dash sandwich in the middle, right? If they're doing that and they pay the fee twice, like each user pays it once, it's still saving significantly over a super chat. So that might be a fun thing to solve it out. Is like, how do you solve it? Might even save over a Patreon. I got to figure that out, which again, crypto enabling all kinds of cool features.
Very cool.
Yeah. So let me see. Someone asked in the live chat, by the way, can YouTube sue creators bypassing super chat fees like Apple does? I don't think so, but it's not a, you can't quite, you know, you just stream to something else anyway. So I got a question from Hillary. He says he's been an Uphold customer since they started accepting Dash, which is how many years ago?
At least 2, if not 3.
Yeah.
It's all blending together now.
Yeah, 2 if not 3. And he says that, will they give exceptions to the 60-day withdrawal rule for long-time customers?
And yes.
Yes. And I believe that's already the case with this, with the individual question. It's more of a something so you can tell, you know, for the rest of the people listening, because some people saw something on Twitter and freaked out because ACH transfers are apparently not entirely secure. 64 days in, and so there was a waiting period for brand new customers. And a lot of people are saying, like, what you mean I need to, in order to do, to use Uphold, I have to wait all this time? And it's like, well, not everyone. So there is an exception for basically waitlisted customers, for right?
Just to explain. So I mean, one of the things that we've done at Uphold, because we believe it's important, is really been a bridge and linking kind of traditional finance, if you will, to crypto. And and so, you know, in your case, Joel, it sounds like you've managed to, you know, live entirely on crypto, which is awesome.
Yeah. Let me give the example of, it's like either you're an expat or you're on vacation, an extended vacation in another country, and you just do not pay attention to US politics at all. And everyone's like, oh man, it's terrible here. I'm like, what's going on? I don't know what's going on. It's like the same thing for me. I'm just out of the bubble entirely.
Well, so, you know, what's funny is, and I'm aging myself here, but, you know, I was around in tech during the first dot-com boom, and there was similar sort of, I was at a company called food.com, and it's basically like DoorDash, right? Like it was a restaurant, food and delivery. And there was somebody who, you know, sort of boasted that, hey, I can live on just things that I purchase on the internet. And they used us as an example because they can get your, you know, your takeout and delivery delivered to you. And at the time that was really cool and amazing. Yet now it would sound absurd because of course you can do that. Hopefully, Joel, you know, what sounds sort of like out there now, you know, 10 years from now will be, you know, totally an easy thing to do. So I'll make that comment. Back to the other question specifically. Uphold feels it's important to connect where the money is today. Where's the money today? It's in banks. It's not, you know, it's accessed through your credit cards, et cetera, et cetera. And in order for, you know, crypto to be successful, you need to bridge it. You need to get it from where it is to where we want it to be. And in order to do that, it's no easy feat. If you're a wallet, let's say in the United States, or an exchange in the United States, you actually, and you're holding somebody's money, you're actually fully regulated. And you actually have to get regulated on a state by state basis. It's brutal. And that's because you're touching the traditional banking system. So that's one. And then two is, unfortunately, the way that the system is designed, you say ACH, a lot of people are like, well, what does that even mean? Well, ACH is the back end rails or pipes where, you know, when you say, oh, I need to move money from my bank account, here's my bank account number and routing number, that goes through what's called ACH. It's governed by the Fed, yada, yada, yada. And there are all sorts of rules associated with it, okay? One, it's slow, which is a huge bummer because in lots of places in the world, it's almost instant. In the US, it can be 3 to 5 days. So that's just, that's unacceptable. And then two, it has certain rules around it whereby, you know, we're totally susceptible to fraud if somebody were to basically load funds into their account and then say, oh, no, I didn't do that later, right? And so we have to basically, you know, sadly change our system and our rules to wipe out the bad actors. There are enough bad actors out there, and, you know, and unfortunately it's a situation where, you know, you know what's it, throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? And that's why, you know, we do look at users who have been with us a long time, like the person who asked the question. We run analysis and so forth to basically, like, you know, get them to opt out of the 65-day hold.
Yeah, and so it's not like it still sounds like they could technically reverse their payment in that time. They've just been a long enough customer that it's like a risk you're willing to take because they're just, you know, they're proven to be trustworthy. They've, you know, and that's it's crazy to think about trust-based models like that for serious things. Like I don't, can you imagine just having to believe someone, like someone just says like, oh yeah, pay me and I'm going to let you live in my room forever. And you're like, well, okay, but I want a, like a lease agreement. I want to make sure you don't just say like, who's you call the police, kick you out. Like you need a paperwork or some kind of like legal help. And then it's just like, okay, well, I sent you a bank transfer. And then the whole 2 months later, it's just, well, you know, let me do something about that.
Yeah. I mean, look, we can still go after these people and we do, but it's just, it wreaks havoc, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and there's just enough bad people out there that you have to, you know, it's like when you get on an airplane, you can't just waltz on. You got to, you know, wait in a huge line and, you know, take off all your clothes.
Well, some of them, some people decide to get full frisky in that line, but that's the thing that's, I mean, obviously it's especially poignant with Dash, but with other cryptocurrencies, even just the rate of finality of a transaction. Now stuff like maybe Ethereum Classic might have a little bit more of an issue where you can have a 51% attack that happens. And so a lot of exchanges way increase their confirmations. But even if you say something like Bitcoin, even if you have a high congestion day, if you were going to pay an okay fee, I mean, a few dollars, I don't think that's okay, but that's just my personal opinion. But then the next day, it'll be there by the next day, even if, you know, it'll be have enough confirmations to be completely confirmed. But in ideal circumstances, you know, a single confirmation within 10 minutes and a few within like a half hour or so. And it's like can you imagine like a half an hour and your money is like confirmed transfer? Half hour to an hour, that's a very short time window. And but then you start getting down and down, and then when you get with Dash, under 2 seconds and it's basically permanent. And you know, in about 2.5 minutes and it actually is permanent. So
Joel, I should know this, but what is the you know, the network fee per se with Dash?
I'm not exactly sure what it's at now, but it's extremely low. It's about a tenth of a cent or less right now.
That's something worth talking about, or you know, especially with the Dash community. I mean, I can tell you, you know, Ethereum and ERC-20 tokens that you know, where a lot of projects have, you know, created tokens because of smart contracts and things like that. That to send something across the ERC-20 rails these days is ridiculously expensive, and it's not done by how big the amount is. And all you need to do is go on to what is it,
Ether, the gas station,
where you can see where you can see it. And we had to go and we had to change our pricing, and we took, you know, we got, you know, kicked in the teeth by customers saying, well, how could you possibly charge this? And it's like, well, wait a minute, this isn't an uphold charge. This is a, you know, if you're, you know, big time Ethereum, you know, diehard, you know, this is a problem with the Ethereum network. So you know, fees as high as $5 to move a dollar of Ethereum.
I use some ERC-20 tokens. And, you know, for example, I've used BAT before, and just transferring that has been, and this was like a few months ago when it wasn't that bad, but more recently, like this month, I've, you know, tried, and it just, this is like, how can this all be sustainable? And then I was looking into it, and I believe I wrote some article about this after I looked into it and was blown away, because I went to CoinGecko, the, you know, the big coin market cap competitor, and was looking down the top 100 coins, and I was just looking at which ones were Ethereum based tokens, and it was like, or Ethereum at all, like Ethereum based related, and it was like, I think 51 of 100, so like half the space is tied to this network with that is now, I mean, first off, no wonder it's congested, but also wow, like everyone is suffering. It's not like, you know, it's like, you imagine if there's like wildfires where you're at, and then you see smoke billowing in Beijing from it. It's like, whoa, like everyone gets affected by this one kind of isolated, well, I wouldn't say isolated, but like this one regional occurrence. And I know that the Ethereum developers are working hard at moving, you know, Ethereum 2.0 forward, and hopefully trying to relieve some of that pressure and make it easy. Life is never as easy as it turns out to be. But I do know, like, good thing when my best friends, Dr. Darren Tapp is a scaling researcher for Arizona State University, and he's been he worked on quite a few scaling papers for Dash to see it scale easily to, you know, over half of PayPal's volume right now, and possibly easily even more. And he's kind of working on all those block propagation techniques to make things scale really, really well on chain. And so, and it's also, it's a good thing with Dash because Ethereum does a lot of very complicated things, and Dash does less complicated things, mostly, you know, just Bitcoin style payment stuff with just a little extra stuff involved. And so because of that, it's a lot easier to scale something like that to a huge level. So if there's ever a day when there's expensive Dash fees, I would be extremely surprised. I mean, it would have to be like the whole planet using it. It would be in the zip code of great problem to have. Although, you know, and hopefully it doesn't take several years. Like, I remember the first time the CryptoKitties came smashing through the network back in 2017. And it's, you know, 3 years later and it's the same problems. And it doesn't, you know, hopefully they're, if Dash hits a congestion point, it'll be way shorter to actually be able to relieve that.
Right, right. I hear you.
Yeah. So, that's, you mentioned something about the card earlier, the Uphold card.
And yeah.
I do remember.
Yeah. I didn't even get very far down my list. Did I?
Yeah. Well, let me interject on the,
So let me try to do more rapid fire.
Okay.
So we, you know, the UX, which I started talking about. We launched a debit card in the US, which is coming out in Europe. And the debit card is really unique because what it is you can basically pull from any of your sub accounts right up until the point where you hand over your card and make the transaction. So, so even for Dash, right? Like if a merchant doesn't accept Dash itself, it's at least a way you can spend your Dash. Mm-hmm. So you can be holding your Dash with an Uphold. And then you go, and of course, what's happening is the Dash is getting converted to USD, so that the merchant can, you know, is now, getting the USD, not that, the Dash.
Is that conversion happening with a transaction, or is it like preloading the card?
Well, so with the transaction, which is the unique part about it, most of these cards require you to, let's say, make the conversion and then hold it in USD, and now I spend the USD. Mm-hmm. In ours, it's like immediately happening, you know, straight off of your sub account, which could be in Dash, Bitcoin, dollars, gold, right? So it's kind of a unique situation.
It's one of those things that the reason I got into crypto to begin with is because I was always a precious metals and sound money advocate, and I was looking for ways to get one of those gold backed debit cards so I could like have my store of wealth in gold and suspend that. And I was, while I was trying to figure out, I found something way better, but sorry for the interjection. You just mentioned spending gold with a card. And I was like, Oh, that was me. I was trying.
Yeah, no. And another thing that we just launched, which is exciting, is UPXAU. So we used to support digital gold in the past. But you couldn't then move it across the blockchain, right? Like you were basically buying and holding. And as the value of gold was going up and down, so was your sub account. But it couldn't move out of Uphold per se. Whereas now we have this UPXAU and that can move across, the Ethereum rail. So you could remove it from Uphold and put it on, I don't know, your ledger wallet or whatever. And it's backed by the Perth Mint, which is really amazing. So it's not an ETF. It's actually, you know, equivalent. If you buy an ounce of gold, it's equivalent to an ounce of gold. That we think it's one of the most unique new gold products out there. And that's another thing that we launched. I guess I'll finish up on the debit card side. We're launching the same thing in Europe.
When is that? That was actually a question I got a couple days ago when I mentioned you'd be on the podcast.
I think the latest date is November 1st. It's in development right now. Let's see what else. We made a ton of improvements to the site, automated transactions. So if you do a transaction on a regular basis or want to do a transaction on a regular basis, you can sort of set it and forget it. We launched fractional equities. That's a huge one. We've been working on that one for a really long time. It's not yet available in the U.S. We're still getting through some regulatory, you know, hurdles there and so forth. But if you're in Latin America or other parts of the world, you know, for the first time, you can go directly from Dash, let's say, to you know, Apple stock, Tesla stock, what have you, which is pretty amazing. What else? Shoot, I know I must be forgetting a few things, but
that's already a very impressive slate of things. Especially, that's one thing that I noticed that a lot of crypto brokers don't really do is touch their toes in other environments. And so you have, say, the young people doing their stock trading on Robinhood or buying Tesla stock and then getting wrecked when it goes down, or like whatever, like all that stuff. And then you have people just using their bank accounts for usual things. And then you have crypto traders buying crypto to do on over there. Then you have precious metals people hoarding a whole bunch of gold coins and silver coins. Again, you know, I'm kind of one of those there with some. And then it's like all these different like worlds, and having a place where you can kind of intersect with all of those is pretty next level.
If I may, I mean, that's actually the original concept, even going back to the BitReserve days, like why the company was started. The company was started with a vision that, you know, everyone has one of these, you know, a phone. Yeah. And that phone, you know, you could be anywhere in the world, and you should be able to hold all of your value in one place. You should, you know, you described a world today where, which is true, you've got different accounts for different things. There should be one place, anything that can be broken down into a digital asset where you know what the value is at any given time, you should be able to hold that securely. You own that, you should be able to send it instantly across the globe for free, right? Mm-hmm. Or close to free, which isn't the case today. So, you know, that's our vision where things will go. And then, you know, we're in this phase where hopefully we're getting there, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really revolutionary concept. And I'm sure that it's kind of in line with the crypto ethos, which is anyone can create value. Anyone can choose to value it, and anyone can transfer it to anyone without restriction, basically. And that's one reason why, like, people say, you know, you're living unbanked, how do you do this, or it is nonsense, and it just goes, I got this extra thing, and like I have, you know, euros and stuff like that and paper euros, and just like I have to go to an exchange like counter, and then they like just I can't just like have cat like I can't bring my euros to the coffee shop, be like, oh right, I have the wrong kind, hold on, all right, they're dollars now. You can't do that. And but the problem is the crypto world is like a bubble. It's like almost like an exclusive club. If you're in the crypto club, then you have all this freedom. And if you're not in the club, you don't. And then in and out of the clubs is like it's a little iffier. And so this whole, I guess, what we call like the Uphold Master Plan type thing is to kind of create make that club more inclusive, to where you don't have to be just all in crypto. You don't have to just stay with your group of whatever. Everyone can kind of be in that club. Everyone can kind of just zip, 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 send things around, and they don't have to exchange their old tokens for new tokens. They can kind of keep having gold and keep doing stocks and keep having USD or euros.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also about, you know, because it's true, if everything's sort of in the closed loop of Bitcoin, and you've obviously found places that are accepting it or Dash, you know, of course it works if you're in that world, but as we know, most people are not in that world. And so a lot of it too is just bringing people into that world and experiencing it, and that bridge that I spoke about earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a KYC procedure question. Some Great Wolf here, he says he had a BitReserve account, but because of some KYC thing, now he did not transfer to Uphold, and he's sort of wondering how he can remedy that situation. Which, of course, is funny when you have like a live chat where people just jump in at all times. You can kind of become customer support agent live, you know, live on air. But you know, obviously I understand. But yeah, so it just about, I guess, a little clarification about the Uphold's KYC procedures.
Sure. So, I mean, that's it. That should be something that could be handled and just going through support at uphold.com and them finding you and so forth. But yes, I mean, so, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we are regulated, you know, financial institution, because we have to be, because we're connected to the banking system, because we want to be that bridge, et cetera, et cetera. I've already mentioned that stuff. And as a part of KYC, we need to know our customer, and you go through, you know, if everything works out great, you just go through a simple process where you're sharing information about yourself, and we're getting, you know, we're on the back end, we're checking all this stuff and making sure that, you know, you're not on any blacklists and blah, 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 and then you're approved. So that's basically, you know, that's the piece, and it's a requirement if you're any business that's actually touching the banking system or the card system or what have you. Was that a decent explanation?
Yeah. And that seems to be a, like with crypto, there's like this. So the ideal spot to be in is, of course, have access to all the worlds. And so I'm kind of in my walled world here. There's a fiat world, and the sweet spot is having that band in the middle where you're involved in the various transfer type services, and just being basically, you know, verified with KYC does kind of get you into that club. And then it just, everything becomes so much easier. And I know, cause I've had to like use the no KYC kind of route. And it is a lot more of like a pain in the butt to do that kind of stuff. You know, oh, where's there an ATM nearby? How can I do stuff like that?
And well, it's more than just a like, which is easier to do. I mean, you know, and it's more that, oh yeah, we're doing it just because we have to. I mean, you know, sadly, I mean, the flip side of it is, you know, that KYC and the AML is there for a real reason, right? And it goes back to this whole thing about, you know, you gotta squeeze out the bad guys. And you know this, right? Like, you know, if you know, what is, if somebody who's not in crypto, you know, maybe not so much now because there's been so much more improvements and everything's gone much more mainstream, but certainly whatever, 10 years ago, oh, you're in crypto, oh, you must be a criminal. Right. So like no KYC AML means, you know, you're doing something illicit, right? And you know, until we sort of bring crypto out of the shadows and basically you know, say, hey, you know what? Actually, crypto is you know, should be a crime preventer than you know, much more so than cash, right? You can't really track cash. So anyway, it cuts both ways, is I guess my point is, you know, for folks that say, oh, well, no, I only want to live in a world with no KYC, then I say, well, then you certainly can do that, but you're going to miss out on, you know, a lot of the benefits of the financial system.
Yeah, that makes sense. We did have a super chat right here. Trav Crypto wants to know, can you please answer my question in the chat? Well, there is no Trav Crypto in the chat, so I don't know which question specifically answers. So you'd have to let me know that. It is kind of funny because, you know, when people start juggling aliases, we're talking about, you know, identity and stuff. Sometimes they have like different ones here or there. And that's why I try to keep mine very, my pseudonymity very non-anonymous because of that. Yeah, but that is something that's very fascinating. I do remember my attention spans obviously comes in waves and stuff, but I do remember in the beginning when Uphold was announced as, you know, a Dash strategic partner, I do remember looking into the KYC, the KYC process, and I remember it being very, very simple. And I believe at that point, Uphold was a young company and was being overwhelmed with like support requests. So if anything went wrong, it might've taken a little bit longer, but if it didn't go wrong, it could be like that day you get verified. It would like take the selfie with the driver's license and all that stuff. And is it still like kind of a process?
It's still that, right? Like if the system is working, you know, basically we use a third party, you know, as everybody does, right? A third party system. And it's actually a variety of things. It's multiple systems that, you know, but the user experience is important, and that is important that it's as simple as possible. And, you know, and, you know, it's like, you know, innocent until proven guilty, right? Like, just put, you know, if you're a good actor, you should have a really easy way to just go and set it up. And, and so absolutely it's automatic. If there's, you know, if everything sort of checks out, then you can go and start using it right away, which is the majority of the time. It's obviously the people who have the bad situation or who run into some sort of issue that are the ones that, you know, are sort of the squeaky wheels. We see that a lot on Twitter as an example. We're like, we have people on Twitter that just, you know, blast us. Oh, these people, you know, they blocked my money. They stole my account. And we're like, well, because, you know, and we're not even allowed to, it's like the Bank Secrecy Act. We're not even allowed to like call that person out and say, well, look, you know, I'm sure you don't want the entire Twitter sphere to know that you're a crook, but that's why we had to block you, right?
Yeah.
And they will. You're like, gosh, this person is so bold to do that. You know, not that everybody who, you know, we have our share of issues and so forth, but that does happen a lot. And it's worth noting.
Yeah, that's one thing about like regretted feedback. It's rare you get just general run of the mill good feedback for anything. It just, if it's working, people shut up and use it, you know? And if they have any kind of a problem, especially when it has something to do with money, where people instantly get a little like tight in the neck about it, you know,
we have a really good Twitter community, you know, that likes to chime in and, you know, and it gets excited about, you know, some of the things that I brought up earlier that we've added, and they appreciate that and so forth. So it's not all bad, but, you know, I get it, right? The KYC piece is not like fun, but it's necessary.
Yeah. Apparently, Trav Crypto posted something in the Periscope tent. He says, what makes Dash better than an Ethereum sidechain? Well, I don't know too much about how Ethereum sidechains work, and I would have to actually have a real example of that. I believe, so in order to, so I'm not a huge sidechain expert, but from when I was talking to Rob Viglione of Horizon, he was talking about his whole, the sidechain offerings on Horizon, and basically you'd be able to lock up Zen tokens to issue tokens on one of their sidechains, and it'd kind of work like that. So I'm assuming it'd be sort of the same process with an Ethereum sidechain. Now, as far as how does that actually run on the network and stuff, I'd really have to know the details, because it's a very very complicated thing. But I doubt that first off, nothing is infinite. So no scaling or whatever is infinite. No network is infinite. And so we'd have to see what the relative limitations of that would be. But also, some of the stuff that Dash does, like instant send and chain locks that makes things super reliable right away, are things that are, as far as I know, unique to Dash. And so I think that it probably would not be quite as efficient. But again, sidechains is a huge subject. I'm not really that familiar. But anyway, yeah, thanks Trav Crypto for the question. Let me just make sure we don't have any other big questions here. It might be a good time to talk about the deposit with a card thing and the fee wave.
Another thank you.
Yeah.
Another thing that we launched. I think we maybe launched that in Q4, but basically, you know, we eliminated. We used to have a withdrawal fee, deposit fee. Mm-hmm. We eliminated that stuff. We used to have a transaction fee. We eliminated that. Of course, we still make money on a spread, but I think that in particular, depositing funds onto Uphold, you know, with your Visa MasterCard, which is the fastest way to get the money on the system, unless you're sending it, you know, through crypto. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
And especially if you're sending it through Dash, it's just a few seconds, right? But if you are doing it through, you know, traditional banking system, so you want to get that money from your checking account into Uphold, you can use your debit card associated with your checking account. And normally, like with Coinbase, I think it's 3.9%. every company charges for something. We used to charge for it. We don't charge for it anymore. Not that those costs go away, but we eat those costs because we want to make it. We want to give somebody a really easy and free way to put money on our system.
Yeah, and that is, as I mentioned before, like a lot of people have this. Yeah, you know, unfortunately, technology is generational a lot of times, and a lot of, you know, you learn how things are done, and then when things are done differently, it's not. There's a lot of familiarity attached with older systems. A lot of people are stuck in the card world, and I have to admit, like, I would consider myself as one of those people, because even though I'm Mr. Crypto Dude now, when I left off the fiat world was like, I was before the payment app era. So if ever all the crypto went to zero and I started, you know, I was crying and sad and all, and I had to go back to my bank and say, can I please have my account back or whatever. And if I ever had to do all that, I would be kind of lost in this world of payment apps of like, oh, how do you Venmo someone to PayPal or whatever? Like I would not know. So a lot of people were just like, can I buy Dash with a card? And that was one of those original questions like years ago when people were like, oh, it's Dash is great. You know, I believe Amanda V. Johnson, who was a Dash spokesperson at the time, was talking to her uncle saying, this is great, you should get some. He's like, oh, great, here's my card. If you don't want to buy some, where do I do that? And she had nothing for him at that point. Just, I don't know.
So there you go. All you need to do is come to Uphold, sign up, put in your card information, and then you can purchase, and for no fee, you can purchase Dash.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, speaking of cards and stuff, let me hit this thing, expand this out. Someone paid me $10 just to tell you that. So, isn't that nice? So, Uphold, there we go. Solid, thanks for doing it right. And way back in the early day, I did use some crypto debit cards, the ones that didn't require KYC, and that window closed very quickly. And so, like, I've dealt with some of this kind of stuff, and so I, even though I don't know specifically what this person's talking about, I can guess like what the competitors, I've seen what some competitors do and some of the clunkiness that goes around with that. But yeah, just have that swipe and it gets converted on the spot kind of a thing is something that I think could really be, especially because I think it was in June of this year, was the single largest increase in the consumer price index in the US in 1 month since 91. So because there's, you know, a lot of inflation and stuff going on, and a lot of people are, to be very honest, scared that their money's not going to be worth that much in the future. And I think that for, like, some people might just be like, you know what, let me sock away a little bit of Dash every month just in case, just as a security thing, and then they can just go spend it. And I actually do have a bunch of friends in Venezuela who deal with the reality of the Bolivar every day, and just like, you spend that thing like it's going to rot, because it does. And right. I never think that the US is going to hit the same kind of a situation, the same extremity, but I do believe that some people might have that moment where they want to keep everything in something that they believe is going to go up, or at least hold its value, and then only put it into US dollars when they have to spend it. And maybe that situation will arrive before crypto is mainstream and able to be spent directly. And so that's like a fantastic use case for, you know, for it, assuming there's some dark times ahead. But I always keep a positive thought. I hope crypto just gets
some good. What you just mentioned there is, I mean, so we see a lot of usage of Uphold in Latin America. We have almost 1 million users in Latin America for Uphold. And basically, you know, what's cool about it is, and we partner with Dash big time in places like, you know, Colombia and Venezuela. What we see is companies in the US that have nothing to do with crypto, but have, let's say, affiliates or employees in Latin America that they need to pay. Those people are asking to get paid in crypto. So that kind of demand for just a regular payment flow, it's going to help the overall industry, right? So they get the company in the US really knows nothing about crypto. They get an Uphold account, they move their money from their bank into Uphold, and then they do a mass distribution of payments And we convert them, let's say, into Dash or to Bitcoin. And then that's because that's how they want to receive it down there. And it's funny, some people say, oh, well, you know, isn't crypto really volatile? And it's like, well, not really, not compared to some of these other currencies.
Yeah, and that's a great point, a great thing to point out is I have seen, first off, in my short time, I believe Bitcoin is either 130 or 160 USD when I first got my first bit of it. It was like 0.1 Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And then today is, it's not a low, the bear, it's not the high, it's like at half the price of its highest point. And even then, right, that's like well over 10 times as valuable, if not 100 times as valuable. And then my when I first made my first Dash in exchange for goods and services, I believe I wrote an article and they paid me 3 Dash because that was like $7 per Dash. So it was like a little bit over $20 for a little article on a site. And so this is also not one of Dash's highest points in the price. However, it's still 10x. I'm still at this bottom. Yeah. I'm still up 10x from that. And over a long enough period, of course, it's like, wow, that's cool. And, but also there's, I remember when the bear market and stuff was going down and people were complaining about like a 5 to 10% drop. And I was like, well, how about 10% a day? And it just doesn't stop, like in Venezuela. Like you have like a horrible market day, and then the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and it just keeps going down, 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 down. You better just spend your money right away. And so it's like, what happens if you have Bolivars and Dash, and then it's a bad time in the markets, and they go boink down, down. Eventually, Dash stops, and then might even start going up. But Bolivar just keeps going down. So it's like, oh, Dash is so volatile. It's horrible. Well, you know, not compared to some really, you know, worst use case cryptocurrencies and stuff. Yeah. Absolutely. So it looks like, let me just make sure we don't have any more super chats really, really quick. So what is something else? Where would you send everyone? If you have one place to send people, just send them to Uphold and tell them to sign up. And what do you want them to specifically look out for?
Well, I mean, so one way to think about it, hopefully, mm-hmm. is, you know, maybe there's a world that's in between kind of going full crypto, which is the world that you've opted for, which is admirable. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, on the other extreme, a full fiat world, that you come to Uphold and you can you know, access maybe hopefully the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. an analogy, there's no doubt that the way that people deal with money, experience money, it's already changed, right? Like I've been in payments for 20 years, and you know, the banks as we know it have already changed, or I wouldn't say changed or adapted. They're you know, already losing. Let's say put it that way. They're already losing. You know, somebody's better figure out what to do with all of these brick and mortar banks, you know, in the next 10, 20 years. Otherwise, I'm not sure what they're going to be used for. Mm-hmm. But they, you know, the way that there's been so many successes around, you know, new fintechs, neobanks, challenger banks, et cetera, there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, 5, 10, 20 years from now, that's the way that things are going. And I think if, you know, you basically can get started with Uphold because we're an easy way for somebody to like make that transition in, easily connect your bank account to our system, put money in and out very easily, anything to anything. And so that would be, you know, obviously self-serving, but that would be what I would say.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let me add to that by saying I've been working on this video series called How to Live on Crypto. And if you look on YouTube or library or wherever else under the quotes, How to Live on Crypto, then you'll find the video series. And episode 2 is How to Buy Some Crypto. And it just says, it shows you how to get set up with Uphold.
Oh,
There's it shows
thank you.
a few other ways of doing that, but for the most part, that's like the number one thing. It's like, all right, you have a bank, you want to get it Uphold. Here's how to, do it in the wallet, and here's how it works. And it's just like a very simple kind of thing. So that's kind of that recommendation. So where would people do you do a lot of like Twitter or anything? Do you do a lot of like you personally, if people wanted to follow you and what you do rather than just Uphold?
Yeah, I do have, I think it's Robin O'Connell one. I do have, I'm not super active there just because I, I do, I'm doing, I think, something like this, a podcast, or I'm on a panel in Australia a week. It's been different. I love going to conferences and doing that stuff. Haven't been able to do that, obviously.
Course.
But yeah, no, I think from a business standpoint, LinkedIn, and Twitter.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, we're gonna that's thanks again for being on. This was a great and
Well, thanks
enlightening
for having
chat.
me.
Yeah.
Where in New Hampshire are you? In like
In
central?
the coastal area. So
Oh,
right by the
nice.
water. Yeah,
Port, Port, Portsmouth?
like Portsmouth area. How
Nice.
have you been there recently?
I was there a couple of years ago. Yeah.
Nice.
Like, is it Hampton or New Hampton?
Yeah, it's probably so there's a million Hamptons here,
Yeah.
unfortunately. It's hard to tell. But
Okay.
there is a clip, a CNN clip of me running around Portsmouth spending Dash everywhere, floating
No
around there
way. I want
somewhere.
to
Yes,
see that.
and unfort I mean, I would recommend, I would drop the link, except I was probably like 20, 30 pounds heavier then, and I don't like the way look at those things, but whatever. No, you can find it on your
Is
own.
that so? Did you lose 20 or 30 pounds because it's hard to buy food with crypto?
No, a lot. That is a funny kind of way of doing things. Unfortunately, it was a little bit too easy, which is why I got that way to begin with. But it was, and it, I can make. I'll just chalk it up to crypto winner jokes. Oh, that's a lot easier than just trying to actually say, oh, I had to work out a lot to get it off. But yeah. So thanks to everyone for watching. Obviously, go check out Uphold and stuff. And also thanks for the super chats. This is the first day, the first episode, the inaugural podcast of the live super chats. And thanks to Cointree and the Cointree team for providing that fantastic free, of course, service. And if you enjoyed, obviously like, comment, share, subscribe, all those four things everyone says, but they're important to do. And now it's time for something I call the after party, which is sort of like this, except it's more people all in one room. It's not recorded, so you don't have to worry about that. And everyone can just hang out and into the wee hours of the morning if you want, which happens sometimes. So if you want to do that, you go to the Dash Talk Discord server, which is staydashy.com. I'm going to type it in the live chat real quick. And then it's you basically just like a speakeasy, kind of ask, how do I get into the after party? Where's the after party at? We'll put you in there. And I'm not going to bother poor Robin here a little bit anymore trying to say, hey, you've been on with me for an hour. How about another hour with a bunch of maniacs in an after party? But I'm just dropping it for everyone else. So thanks again a lot for being on. We'll hopefully have this up tomorrow or Sunday for the rest of the channels. But yeah, thanks again.
Thanks for having me, Joel. Good talking with you.
Yeah, likewise.